Best in Class is back with a breakdown of the AFC East draft. Everything these teams did in the draft back in April. JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan is diving in deep, but he's moving fast. He's insightful. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, BillCurryFord.com. Catch up on other episodes you missed at Apple Podcasts and at JoeBucksFan.com. It's the Best in Class podcast. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, the home of the best deals serving Tampa Bay with mobile service for free, pickup and delivery for free, the largest service center drive, 67 cars deep in the United States, massive amount of land to serve the Tampa community. We can handle as many cars as you can bring in. Very exciting stuff. Listen, this is the hardest part of the summer for me. I'm begging for information from all these different sources. I'm reading, I'm watching, I'm following, which is what I want you guys to do, by the way. Please follow Bill Curry Ford Tampa, all of its amazing social media. Email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with your questions and comments, and leave reviews at Apple, Podbean, and Joe Bucks Fan. So I am in that mode where I'm ready to see these players play in minicamp. I'm ready to start commenting on how they're actually doing versus just whether they're a good fit for their team. But again, first things first, AFC East, let's get started. And the best 30 minutes in football, brace yourselves, all right? We're going to start with the Buffalo Bills. First round draft pick, pick 30 overall, Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky. This guy can run. This guy has tremendous speed. He can cover. He's going to be basically a zone-heavy cornerback. This guy can absolutely jump out of the gym. He sets all of the records at the combine. This is one of the fastest players in the entire draft. And not only is he fast, he can actually play the game, which also helps as a combination. This is a fantastic pick for the Buffalo Bills. I think he steps in and starts right away. And that's Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky. Pick 30 in the first round. They found a starter, the Buffalo Bills. Now, for a perennial playoff team, they went interior defensive line for their second pick, which was pick 41, and that's T.J. Sanders out of South Carolina. He's a three technique, unbelievable explosive step. This guy can get into the backfield, create havoc. He can actually rush the passer. He had 33 quarterback pressures last year, and I think he fits right into the rotation right away. I think he's a solid player, players with some controlled violence, which you guys know is my favorite adjective to describe a football player. I love when they play with violence, but it has to be under control. It can't be penalty violence. It can't be, let's slow down the game. No, it has to be within the course of the game. I want to see them violent. I want to see them playing inside the rules, and I want to see them inflicting their will on their opponent. And T.J. Sanders is one of those guys where he's very physical. I can see this guy already on like a Sunday playoff game in the snow, you know, in Buffalo, you know, like, or wherever they're going to play. But I can see him in those winter months just diving into the defensive line and playing at a physicality that is equal to a Bill. In the third round, pick 72, they went edge Landon Jackson out of Arkansas. Here's a guy that was linked to many teams, including the Buccaneers in the, before pre-draft. He's considered somewhat of a sleeper pass rusher. He can line up inside or outside, and he finished with a lot of quarterback pressures his senior year. I don't have the exact number, but he did actually extremely well. Here's a guy that's got good technique. He's well coached. The problem with him is I lose him when I watch the tape, and I believe that's why he's not picked higher than 72 in the third round. My thing is, when you're watching tape, which I watch a lot of film. I enjoy it. It's not a chore to me to watch it. I love watching the players. When a player disappears on me and I don't know where he is on the field and I can't see him in action, it's like, okay, he's probably going to be a chess piece, but he's probably not going to be one of the top edge rushers or in that top echelon of edge rushers. But I think he's a solid guy. I think Buffalo has a history of drafting like these above average pass rushers and getting 6 to 7 to 8 sacks out of them a year and become very productive players. They have a very, very good defensive coach, very good defensive scheme. I really like this fit for him. Although I didn't see the toughness that, like I talked about with T.J. Sanders. So there's going to be some adjustment for Landon. He's a little bit more of a finesse player. They went back to the interior line again to, you know, obviously that seems to be a theme right now on all of the teams that we're covering, is this interior defensive line was so deep in this draft, and a lot of teams really addressed their run blocking. And they went fourth round, pick 109, Deion Walker out of Kentucky. He's one of the largest players in the draft at 6'6", 345. He has good feet, though. He moves much faster than his 345 pounds. I think what you're going to see out of him is he's going to be able to get into that rotation right away, along with TJ Sanders, and really help against the run game. TJ obviously has more pass rushing ability. That's why he went higher. But they really wanted some big bodies in those trenches, and they got it with Deion Walker out of Kentucky. In the fifth round, pick 170, Jordan Hancock out of Ohio State. It's really interesting. This is a safety that, man, I'm kind of hit or miss on. I can't tell if he's going to be a backup player, possibly special teams player, or is he going to get some snaps in the rotation? We won't really find this out until training camp, but he's not one of my favorite players at the safety position, but he's solid. But he's not spectacular. He's well coached. He has some limitations athletically, moving in and out of coverage. Although he had a good coverage grade, and you watch him, I think there's just too much distance between where he's supposed to be. I mean, these are just things that I don't know. I mean, I haven't sat down with Ohio State and said, okay, how did you play Jordan Hancock last year? But when you watch him on film, he's not locked on. He's more of a guy that plays with instincts and kind of has a nose for the ball. I don't know if he plays out of technique sometimes. I guess we'll find out. But in the fifth round, he fell that far to pick 170. He might be a special teams player. They had another pick in the fifth round at pick 173 with tight end Jackson Hawes out of Georgia Tech. This guy is the absolutely epitome of the definition in Webster of a run-blocking tight end. He is absolutely devastating blocker. I have no idea if the guy can catch the ball or not. I don't think that's what he's going to be used for. He's almost like having another offensive lineman on the field for run blocking. But this guy is no joke. He again, plays with controlled violence. He loves to hit. He loves to block. And he's going to move people out of the way, and that's Jackson Hawes. He will play for the Buffalo Bills. He will make the team, and he will be in rotation because of what they're trying to do with their run game. In the sixth round, they dump back into the defensive backfield with cornerback Dorian Strong out of Virginia Tech. I think he's one of the best zone scheme corners in the draft. He was not a guy that I would play, you know, man at all. But if you're going to play zone, which happens to be what the Bills play the majority of the time, he's going to be a very good player. I think he can, even though he's a sixth-round draft pick, he's very, very disciplined. He actually understands the concepts of playing zone and what the receivers are trying to do to you. I feel like this is the guy in the sixth round that can make a playoff team like the Bills. I think he makes the team. I think he's more than a special teams player just because he's the right player for the right fit in the scheme. If he went to another team that didn't have this defense, I would understand that he might not make the team. But again, Buffalo drafts for their scheme. And they had another sixth round draft pick, 206 tackle Chase Luntz out of Connecticut. Again, zone blocking scheme guy. He was one of the highest graded tackles for zone blocking last year. He only had one quarterback hit and no sacks in pass protection in all of 2024, but he's limited. So we'll see. I didn't do a lot of research on Chase just because he wasn't. There's so many tackles in this draft, so many guards in this draft, so many centers, so many tackles moving inside, so many guards moving to play other positions like left and center. So this is a guy that really wasn't on my radar, so I'm interested to see how he does. In the seventh round, the Buffalo Bills jumped back in and got a wide receiver, Caden Prather, out of Maryland, pick 240. Here's a guy that was basically seen as an undrafted free agent that made it into the draft at the very bottom of the seventh round. He has good size, doesn't really fight for the ball, catches the ball well when he's open, but if there's a defender near him, he doesn't catch the ball. I think that's where he's going to have to work on. He's just not a physical player. In the NFL, I think there's a need for you to be somewhat physical, and I don't know if he's going to make the team. My guess would be right now that he's not, that he's going to get a look. He's probably going to be a practice squad player for the Buffalo Bills. But looking back at the Bills draft, between Hairston, who I think is going to start for them, I think TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson and Deion Walker are all going to be in the rotation defensively right away. And that's their first four picks. I think that's an excellent job by the Buffalo Bills. And then later they pick some players that really fit their scheme to see if they can hit on something. Next we go to our friends in Florida, the Miami Dolphins. They picked one of my absolute favorite players at 13, and that's Kenneth Grant out of Michigan. He's an interior defensive lineman. This guy is a beast, has size, has quickness, can rush the passer. I think he's very underrated in rushing the passer. I think he's just dominant up front. He's going to be an immediate upgrade to your run defense, obviously. They ranked sixth against run defense last year. He elevates them again to really stop the run. This is one of my favorite players. I'm telling you, the Miami Dolphins did terrific. He went a little bit higher than a lot of people thought at 13. I'm telling you, he deserves to go. Watch the tape on this guy. He's so underrated as far as a player. Now, I know that's hard to say. Well, Shawnee's a first-round draft pick. When I say underrated, I mean he has skills that no one's talking about when you watch the film. He pushed the play into a lot of his teammates, and you don't get credit for that. You have to watch film to really truly understand someone who doesn't get the stats on this, at the end of the game. You have to watch and say, okay, did this guy make an impact? This guy makes a massive impact on the game. I watched every Michigan game for obvious reasons. There's a lot of NFL talent on that team. And this guy stands out every time. He's one of those guys you don't lose track of. Keep your eye on Kenneth Grant. I think he's going to be a star for the Miami Dolphins. Their next pick was on the offensive line. That's Jonah. And I cannot pronounce his last name. I've heard it pronounced so many times. If you pronounced it right in front of me and then I had to copy it, I'm not a mimic bird. It's very tough for me. But this Salvinia out of Arizona, again, big, gigantic offensive lineman, moves well, had good testing, had starting experience at both tackle and guard at Arizona. He's a perfect fit for the Dolphins' zone rushing scheme. He had really top grades last year. Pick 37, he's almost a first-round draft pick. I think that he plays for Miami right away. Their next pick didn't come until pick 143. They picked an interior defensive lineman and Jordan Phillips out of Maryland. I think that he's a better player than in the fifth round. I think he's probably more of a low third, fourth round draft pick. I think he was a solid pick for the Dolphins in this fifth round. I think he's actually going to make the team. Again, they went back in the fifth round and had cornerback Jason Marshall Jr. out of Florida. For all your Florida fans, here's a guy that started three seasons for the Gators on defense, has a lot of snaps. He's seen a lot of things in the SEC. He had a shoulder injury that cost him the final six games of 2024. He's 6'1", 201 pounds, good size for the position. We'll see. I watched every Gator game. I thought he was an average college player. I didn't see anything that made me think that he was going to be an NFL player. But again, It's up to Jason to see what he's going to do in training camp. But didn't see anything special, just saw a solid player at the safety position. I think he's probably going to play special teams in the NFL. They came back and drafted another safety, Dante Trader Jr. out of Maryland. So it's really interesting. They went two picks in the fifth round. This guy can play the box, slot, and deep. He's actually not a very good tackler. He did improve last year, but he's much more of a cover safety. He tries to knock your head off, kind of like Shiloh Sanders for the Bucks, where they don't wrap up and make the proper tackle. Sometimes the hit does change the course of the game, the momentum of the game, but sometimes you just got to make the tackle. Some of these guys fell just because they don't make the easy tackle. Just go up there and do your job. And then if you get the opportunity to knock someone's head off, don't try every single time to do it. Just sometimes, just a nice tackle to stop a third down, to stop a first down on third down is the right play. In the sixth round pick, 179, Ollie Gordon out of Oklahoma State. This guy's a very interesting player. He ran for 1,732 yards and averaged 6.1 yards per attempt in 2004. He earned a 75.8 pro football rushing grade on gap runs. This is a guy that when he's healthy is interesting. In 2023, he was really terrific. 2024, not as much. So again, I think getting Ollie Gordon in the sixth round, you don't really put any risk out there, but you have a guy that could actually show up in the minicamp. So let's see how that goes. But I'm going to put a pin in him. I am interested to see if he's going to be ready and running for minicamp. QB Quinn Ewers out of Texas in the seventh round, which is probably where I would have put him, pick 231. Man, he was inconsistent for me. Lots of starting experience. He was the backup to Tua. He's going to be the backup to Tua, which makes a lot of sense. Man, I just watched the guy. He makes a spectacular throw, and then he throws three balls that you're like, what was that? then in big games, sometimes he's high. So he's one of those guys that gets really hyped up and throws the ball high when he's got a lot of adrenaline going, where he doesn't settle in very good. Like, you really need to get him some consecutive completions to get him in the groove of the game. He's one of those guys that's going to be very streaky. He's got great sizes, and I think his arm is obviously good enough for the NFL, but he's a developmental guy, and I know they're going to try to stick him on this roster because of Tua's, the fact that he gets hurt a lot. I don't know what he gives them right away. In the seventh round, pick 253, Zeke Biggers out of Georgia Tech is an interior defensive lineman. Again, great size for the nose tackle position. I mean, besides size, he really didn't do much for me. He's 331 pounds. He's a run stuffer guy. I know that they say he has potential as a pass rusher. Okay, whatever. I don't know what potential means. You got to do it for me in college for me to pay attention to it. He's just a big guy that can stop the run. Doesn't really bring anything else to the position. How many of these guys do you really need? I don't think you can ever have enough of these guys. Zeke Biggers actually might make the team as a backup to backup to backup, or he's going to be a practice squad player. But I think he's just another gigantic guy you put in there to stop the run. So that was Miami. So Miami got one of my absolute favorite players in the draft in Kenneth Grant with their first overall pick. They got a starting offensive lineman. And then after that, they got a bunch of depth and special teams players. So it's a really tough draft for Miami. But I think they on their first two picks, they nailed their first two picks. So we'll see how they go. New England Patriots up next. They drafted 4 overall Will Campbell. He's going to play left tackle even with his short arms. I don't care about it. The guy's a football player. He's a beast. I think he's absolutely going to be a left tackle in the NFL. Don't care about his arms. The guy, watch him on film. He's dominant. Really don't care. This is one of those guys where you throw out the book on his measurables and just say, this guy's a tremendous football player. I think it's going to really help Drake May. It's really going to help that offensive line a lot to stabilize that left side. And you can see that the Patriots are really going to make an effort now that they believe they found their quarterback in Drake May to really go after what kind of like what Caleb Williams, what they did in Chicago, where they really are going to build the team around him and see what they got. But I think he's good enough. I think Drake May showed enough last year, even though his statistics weren't that great. But if you watch the football games, he actually made some of the highest level throws I've seen in a very long time for New England Patriot quarterback since Tom Brady. In the second round, they went out and got Trayvon Henderson out of Ohio State. Perfect running back for them. He's explosive. At pick 38, I think that's right where I would have picked him. The guy can, I think he was better than all the other Ohio State running backs. I think he has power. I love him around the goal line. His hands are good. He's going to be playing with Ramondre Stevenson, who's under contract through 2028, so it's going to be a committee. But as you can see, I think New England really stepped up and said, we're going to really pound the ball, take some pressure off Drake May, give him a left tackle, kind of ease him in. Then they came back in the third round, pick 69, and got Kyle Williams out of Washington State. This is one of the steals of the draft. A lot of people don't know who Kyle Williams is. And I'm telling you, to me, he was a first-round draft pick, possibly high second round. The guy is a stud wide receiver. Just did not get the pub that he should have gotten. This is a guy that's going to get open down the field. Drake May is going to be able to hit him. I think he's got a lot of wiggle after contact. He was ranked first among wide receivers in the 2025 draft class at 8.4 yards after the catch. Again, a lot of that has to do with how he played and where he played. But let me just tell you something about Kyle Williams. If you're a Patriot fan, he's going to be a star player. And they got him at pick 69. Just pay attention to Kyle Williams. In the minicamp, it'll be all they talk about. The guy can absolutely run routes, and he's got speed to get down the field. He's got that it factor. And I don't know why more NFL guys didn't see it, but when I'm proven right, which I am most of the time, you're going to see that these guys get caught up in height, weight, size, interviews, when sometimes you just have to look at the film. And it's almost like they spend too much time analyzing, because they almost talk themselves out of great players. Kyle Williams is a stud. In the third round, pick 95, they pick center Jared Wilson out of Georgia. This guy's a solid center. Great place for him to go. I think that he's a starter in the NFL. I think that he's got great technique. I think he's got great size. I think he played at a great program with great coaching. I think he's just an absolute steal at pick 95. Jared Wilson is an upgrade for that offensive line. I absolutely love this pick for the New England Patriots. Pick 106 in the fourth round, safety Craig Woodson out of California. Really an interesting pick. He's athletic for the position. He's okay against the run. He's got a great coverage grade if you like grades. But I really just think he's a jag. I really think this was a little high for him. I mean, he's going to compete with Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers and of course Mapu that they just signed. So if you think about it, he's going to get into a crowded safety position. I don't know. Maybe they're going to use him in more of a hybrid role. Maybe they're going to use him on special teams. I have no idea. He's going to have a tough time finding his way on this defense. In the fourth round, they picked 137. They came back and got an interior defensive lineman that, when I was at the combine, super impressed me. Joshua Farmer, got to talk to him at the combine. I got to watch his on the field. I was able to sit down and actually inside the combine and watch his on the field drills. It was amazing. I loved his feet. I thought he was super athletic. When he was moving through the drills, I thought he did the drills better than a lot of the other players that were picked much higher than him. He had 6 sacks and 3 quarterback hits and 17 hurries in 2024. Again, at Florida State, the Florida State people got to watch him play. Joshua Farmer is the guy that I think is a much better player than a fourth round. And I think he's going to show up in minicamp, and I think he might be able to start for this New England team. In the fifth round, pick 146, edge Braden Swenson out of LSU. Again, I think he's a much better player than pick 146. I think he's got some real pass rush. I think he's got some real pass rush moves. I think when he's in there one-on-one, he had one of the best grades in all of the 2025 draft. He had a pass rush win rate of 22.1%. Man, this guy's good. A fifth-round draft pick is a steal for this guy. I think he's a solid third-round pick. They got him at the fifth round. In the sixth round, they picked a kicker, don't care. In the seventh round, tackle Marcus Bryant out of Missouri. I think they're just taking a chance to see. This was a highly recruited guy who didn't put it together. So I think they're going to see what they got there. They had a long snapper, Julian Ashby out of Vanderbilt, special teams player. And then in the seventh round, they came back and got cornerback Kobe Miner out of Memphis. Possibly could be used as a special teams player. I don't see him making the team as a corner. Probably, one of those practice squad players. If you look at this New England draft, it's a terrific draft. Will Campbell's a starter. Henderson he's going to at least split carries. Kyle Williams is an absolute star. Wait till you see this guy. He's going to be unbelievable. Third round guy. Jared Wilson, the center out of Georgia, is one of the top centers in the draft. He's going to give them contributions right away. Joshua Farmer is a steal in the fourth round. Swenson's a steal in the fifth round. I mean, my goodness, New England, what a great job drafting this year. Let's move on to the Jets. The Jets addressed their offensive line again with tackle Armon Membu out of Missouri. This guy is an absolute amazing tackle. He's going to fit right in at right tackle. I think he's elite at 330 pounds. I think he's got long arms. I think he's got an amazing size. I think he's going to upgrade the run blocking. I think he's going to be a boost immediately in pass blocking. This is a home run pick for the New York Jets. No, it's not. It's not fancy. I get that. It's not a quarterback or a running back or a pass rusher. I get that. But this is a need that the Jets have had, and they filled it. And I think this guy's one of the best players at his position all of college football last year. The Jets did a good job staying to their guns, getting this guy to really help Justin Fields on that right side. Justin Fields likes to run to the right. Justin Fields, I'm going to say this again, is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL, period, bar none. And not to mention the fact that it's going to be, he wasn't even ranked as the number one free agent signing, which is insane to me. He's a 26-year-old quarterback that has the skills to be an MVP. He played in a terrible system in Chicago. He played with terrible coaching in Chicago. Last year, he played in Pittsburgh and won 4 of 5 games, should have won 5 games as a starter. Actually, the Pittsburgh defense gave up a last-minute field goal for that game to be lost. He actually marched them down the field and put them in the lead. I think Pittsburgh made a massive mistake not throwing the bank at Justin Fields. To be able to sign a guy off the street that was discarded, that was a former first-round draft pick, that has all of this talent. Does it sound familiar, Bucks fans? Because Jason Light, in my opinion, the greatest signing, and that includes Tom Brady, the greatest signing that Jason Light has ever done is Baker Mayfield. He got a player off the scrap heap and made him into a franchise Pro Bowl quarterback at a young age. This just does not happen. The San Francisco 49ers with John Lynch gave up 3 number ones for a quarterback bust. Chicago Bears gave up 3 number ones for a bust out of North Carolina. Listen, teams try so hard to find franchise quarterbacks, and what Jason Light did with Baker Mayfield should go down in history. I mean, it's an amazing feat. And the Jets, I believe, this is my personal opinion, hit a home run with Justin Fields. In the second round, they went out and got a tight end who's a very, very well-coached player, great hands, and that's Mason Taylor, tight end at LSU. They got someone for Justin to throw to down the middle of the field. Absolutely a starting tight end in the NFL. This guy can block. He can high point the ball. He's great around the red zone. He's a great teammate. I absolutely love Mason Taylor, home run pick for the New York Jets. Azeer Thomas, the corner out of Florida State. There were people in this draft, including people that I talked to at the NFL Combine, that said he was a first-round draft pick. I actually saw him mocked in the first round several times in a low first round. Azeer Thomas is a guy at 6'2", is a press corner, long length, great speed, very well coached. He didn't give up a single touchdown pass last year. He only allowed a 50% passer rating against his coverage last year. This guy is a Jet. He's going to fit right in with what the Jets have in the defensive backfield, with obviously with Sauce Gardner. Keep an eye on Azeer Thomas, a physical player who can run, well-coached, press corner. I love what the Jets did with this pick. This so far, they've murdered the draft. Arian Smith, wide receiver, pick 110 out of Georgia. Here's a guy that's, you know, we talk about this every year in the draft. There's a guy with five-tool player that doesn't put it together in a full-time role. He had 10 drops on 48 receptions. That's not good. And he only caught 22% of his contested catches. That's not good either. But he has a five-star wide receiver with all those tools to put it together. Maybe he just needs a more time. But Arian Smith is a guy that the only reason why he's not a star is because of Arian Smith for some reason. And maybe with good coaching and having the Garrett Wilson as a role model. Garrett Wilson is the ultimate professional out of Ohio State. He's an unbelievable talent. He's a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. Maybe that helps Arian Smith develop. We'll see. Safety Malachi Moore out of Alabama. Absolutely one of those Swiss Army knife safeties. Alabama's terrific at producing these guys. There's several examples. The Detroit Lions got the steal of the draft with theirs. There's several well-coached safeties. This is a really terrific pick for the Jets. He's going to fit right into the rotation. I think he plays right away. Linebacker Francisco Magua out of Miami. We got to watch him a lot because I watched Cam Ward. I watched every snap of Cam Ward. So, of course, when you watch the games, you get to see these players. He was a transfer from Washington State. He had 46 total pressures. I think he's a special teams guy, backup linebacker in the NFL. In the fifth round pick, 176, edge Tyler Barron. Again, they went back to Miami again. This is a developmental guy. He had 10 sacks last year for Miami. We'll see how that goes for them. But those back-to-back fifth-round draft picks out of Miami, both developmental guys. But if you look at what the Jets did, it's unbelievable. Starting right tackle, tight end, a corner that can start, a developmental wide receiver and some linebackers and a pass rusher, and they got a Swiss Army knife in Malachi Moore out of Alabama, which will be worked into the rotation. Great job, New York Jets. I think that everybody's going to be impressed with Azeer Thomas and Mason Taylor. These are guys that are just great football players that kind of fly under the radar a little bit, and Mimbu didn't fly under the radar. That guy's a stud. So that concludes today's podcast. Please follow me at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all your social media sites. Please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. See all of our amazing specials. Visit us at billcurryford.com to see what we have going on for Independence Day. Lots of great things going on. You can schedule your in-home deliveries. If you'd like to buy a car and have it delivered to your home, that's not a problem. It's free. We have free pickup and delivery, and we have free mobile service. You just go online at billcurryford.com and make your appointment now. I will see you guys next time. I can't wait to put out some more content. Thank you to Joe Bucks Fan. And I want to shout out, again, the local sports area. Our sports area is really growing between, you know, obviously we know about the Rays and the Bucks, but now we have professional female soccer teams winning championships for Tampa. We have a lot going on. It's a great time to be part of this community. I'll see you guys next time.